Welcome to the ITM Podcast with Steve Perrault and Joey Cabrini.
This is episode 188 of the ITM Podcast presented by SeatGeek. We are the unofficial podcast of your Boston Red Sox. My name is Steve Perrault. His name is Joey Capone. And we are exactly 4 weeks away from Red Sox opening day. Can you feel it, Joe? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm really excited to go through these games inning by inning, blow by blow. I know that you've watched them all. I know that you've listened to the ones on AM radio that were not available for broadcast on NESN because they had to play reruns of Dining Playbook. I'm just really excited to go through Chaz Meedrith's at-bats. Is that his name?
Right? Obviously, yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about here, folks. Strap in, three-hour pod, as you can see. It's going to be a big one.
Do you feel anything?
We're not talking baseball, are we? Are we going to talk about these games for a moment?
No, dude. Only Celtics and Bruins the next hour and a half. Is there any part of you that is watching these games? And I'm not just, of course, this has been an awful offseason, and we've tried to carry you through it. And now we're exactly 1 month away from opening day. When you're seeing these guys on the practice fields in Fort Myers and the content that the Red Sox social team is putting out there, miking up guys, Tyler O'Neill, Jaron Duran, you know, you go down the list here of you know, now legends are showing up. You got Poppy, Pedro, Lester. We'll get into that. Do you feel anything? Let's stick with, forget the legends for now. Do you feel anything watching these games with the current guys and any of this stuff that's going on in Fort Myers?
I mean, seeing a Roman Anthony AB is cool. I don't think we've had the opportunity to see a Marcelo Meyer AB.
No.
Kyle Teal had a televised AB, if I'm not mistaken. So those moments are
these all sound very memorable. I'm pretty sure this guy got a single. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he had an at bat. So that was something. I'm sure there was an outcome at the end of the at bat as well. So that's definitely something. At least a plate appearance. Beyond that, no. It's cool to notice little things. I mean, I'm excited just at the prospect of baseball being on my television. I mean, the second the first pitch of the Northeastern game happened, I was like, ah, they got me. Okay.
I saw your tweet. That was funny. You're just like, damn it. I'm excited, and it could be the worst season ever, and I am locked in. Here we go.
Yeah, they were right. They don't have to spend a dollar. I was excited. I was sitting there giggling. I was sitting on my couch, crisscross applesauce. Like, come on. How am I so stupid and gullible that the second they, you know, jiggle the keys in front of my face and go, you like baseball? You hear that? You hear the snap of the leather? You hear the crack of the bat? You like that, you monkey? I go,
it's good. It's almost like you like that, you stupid idiot. You moron. We didn't do anything all off season, but you... You freaking jerk. You enjoy this, don't you? It just felt like they're spitting on us. Like, here you go, you clown. I bet you enjoy this last place roster running out there to play the Northeastern Huskies. Like, that's kind of what it felt like. And I'm like you, Joe. I was watching, and you know, something about them tossing to Jamai, I'm like, oh, we are back. I don't know why it took them tossing a Jamai for me to realize, like, oh, right, like, the Red Sox baseball on NESN is, I mean, Jamai's our guy, but just something about it was like, yeah, it just triggered something in your brain of, oh, that's the next 8 months, next seven months. Like, that's how this goes.
Yeah, the routine being back in effect definitely is something that just the comfortable stuff is back, you know? It's like, I don't know, let's say, like, you know, winter break, summer break from college is coming up, and you're like, ugh, I got to go home and see my parents. But there's something nice about, you know, you walk in the house, you smell the bacon. Your old bed is still there. You're like, this is home. Like it or not, this is home. But I don't know. Some of those things are not going to be the way that they are right now. Like, I love TC in the booth. I think we all love TC being in the booth. Don't get too excited about that. That's not anything. I don't know. It's a farce. It's not what it was. I'm getting a little bit more excited, but I'm also keeping myself pessimistic intentionally because I don't want to get my hopes too high and get too excited. I don't know. Is it that is, the wrong mentality to take into this?
No, there's just a lot of there's a specific crowd of Red Sox fandom, of Red Sox Nation, that I think will just be excited that they're back and be, oh, Raffy Devers, like, two-run homer in all caps, and, like, the Red Sox play today. And in the past, that was me. Like, that's what hurts, Joe, is that when you – I remember when I would get that first notification of them playing Northeastern, that first MLB notification, I would tweet that out every year. That was like a tradition. It was like, yeah, this is – okay, we've finally made it. We got out of winter. And it's just hard to feel that way right now. And I'm sure a lot of people listening feel the same way. I would just tell you, you don't have to force it. It's okay. It's okay to feel that way. If you're not that excited right now, that's probably the right way to feel. And, of course, there's some stuff to be excited about. You know, and we'll get into some topics here. But I think out of the gate, I just wanted to mention that since last time we recorded, they're finally playing games. I think it was right before the Northeastern game, our last episode. And I can't lie, like, even having these games on, I know all of them haven't been on. You've had to switch to AM radio a couple times, which is absurd. I still don't get why, if you're going to have 80% of the spring training games on NESN, just have them all on NESN. Like, is there a good reason why they can't? I don't get it.
Is there a good reason why Gresh and Fourier in the afternoon have to break down the NFL draft?
Is there a good reason why that show still exists? I mean, you just start asking yourself all these questions, Joe, right? They just pop in your head.
Dude, God bless any human who knows, like, the radio schedule. Like, there are some people in the sports media world who, like, you know, we'll have a casual conversation with who'll be like, oh, yeah, I don't really like the afternoon show on 98.5. Like, how do you know which one is what? I know the lineup, the change. What are you talking about? Are you one of 11 people that listens to the radio? What are we doing here? To put that game on AM radio, let me tell you, this is a Steve line. I'm going to take a Steve line. You take a lot of mine.
I steal your lines every day. Yep.
Here's a Steve line. Add this to the list of things that nobody cares about. I hate the fact that this game's on AM radio. It pisses me off, like, deep in my soul, and it doesn't change my experience listening to it. It doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of anything. Everybody forgets about it in a week, but it makes me so viscerally upset. You own the television network. You have an FM radio station that no one's fucking listening to. Put it on that. It makes me so mad that we have to go to, like, World War I technology to have to listen to a baseball game. And the fact that, you know, not just in and around the Red Sox, but across baseball, there are marquee light matchups that are happening across baseball that you just can't watch unless somebody is live on Instagram or takes a video and tweets it that you just won't see. And I was sitting by my AM radio with my antenna out the window, hoping that I could hear Bobby Dalbec's moon bomb that he was going to hit inevitably in that game. Never did hear it. I think my radio shorted out is why I missed it. But had it happened, you just wouldn't have been able to see it. And I don't know. That just seems like a massive oversight, especially if there's, you know, all these TV packages and MLB TV and MLB Network. Like, we can't squeeze this stuff in somewhere. There's not somewhere, like, for the diehard fans to watch.
You can't line it up because sometimes you don't even get the NESN broadcast. Sometimes you get the road broadcast. But I'd be fine if, like, the 7 spring training games that aren't on NESN, give me the road broadcast. Like, make sure that a team has a TV broadcast. Joey, it is 2024. We're like, it would be great if one of the participating baseball teams had a television broadcast for this baseball game. That's what we're asking for. And I've had this convo before with a lot of people, and no one really seems to have an answer. Even people at NESN, they're like, yeah, we got everyone down there. I don't really know why we're not broadcasting all the games. It's like, all right, that no one has an answer, really. And I get it. Like, there's always going to be, like, people that are kind of ignorant with it. It's like, oh, well, why would they? This team sucks. Like, they put all the games on it. It's like, well, if you're down there, like you're saying, you own the network, just put all the games on TV. It just doesn't make much sense. Again, and I say that to say that I'm not watching all the spring training games. No chance. I'm not doing that. But it would be nice to have the option.
Well, what other sport just doesn't televise their preseason?
No other
sport.
Can
you imagine just a Pats preseason game being like, oh, yeah, you can't watch this one?
That'd be crazy.
That'd be
insane. Specifically would be crazy because there's only three. But, yeah, it's...
Right, right.
It doesn't make much sense. But anyway, let's move on. The main thing I had today, and I was excited to ask the listeners for some DMs. We got some good ones. It's been a while since sliding the DMs, so that'll be fun. Oh, a little premature, but we'll
bassy.
Let it go.
That was a little bassy. Sorry.
Yeah.
Caught me off guard.
No, it wasn't bad. Main thing I had, and it's not like there's anything too fresh on this, but the fact that there's not anything too fresh on this continues to add fuel to the fire, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Say it. Go ahead, say it.
I don't know if this needs to be sneaky talk or not, but...
Say it with your chest.
Can I at least start with sneaky talk?
Sneaky. All right,
no, I'll say it with my chest. Are they going to sign Jordan Montgomery? Are they going to do it?
It's nuts. I mean, I don't know. You give your thoughts first because I got a lot.
So I've done a little bit of research because we have nothing else to do since there's no like rumors about anybody. There's no rumors about anything right now. It is a very rumorless week, which is kind of insane considering that there's still some big names out there on the free agent market. Joe?
Well, the rosters are supposed to be set. The teams are supposed to be playing games right now. They're supposed to be playing spring training games. So that's why, yeah, there shouldn't be any rumors right now.
I'm just basing it off the guys that are still out there. You would expect some rumors to be going around. Yeah, in a normal baseball year, this would be a normal rumorless week. Saw a little bit, you know, some murmurs going around of like, man, maybe Montgomery would go to the Red Sox after all of this. And of course, Cora mentions, I had a conversation with Montgomery before spring training. Seemed like Heyman had said the Red Sox had been in contact with him pretty regularly. Up until last week and maybe even this week, who knows? But the way I look at it, Joe, is a couple of things. First off, he's obviously a Scott Boras client. We've talked about this all offseason. Over the last decade, Scott Boras has had one starting pitcher sign a multi-year deal in March or later. One in the last 10 years, and that was Jake Arrieta in 2018, signing with the Phillies on a three-year, $75 million deal. Would anyone listening to this program turn that down or be against that deal for Jordan Montgomery coming to the Red Sox?
Say it again.
3 years, $75 million. Let's say there's an opt-out after year two if he wants it so he can enter free agency again at the age of 33. Wouldn't that be like the sweet spot, Joe? That would also keep you under last year's payroll. So Sam Kennedy wouldn't have been lying with that line at winter weekend that they were going to have a lesser payroll than 2023. And even if you want to, you know, add Adam Duvall, you still can. So I saw that.
Wouldn't that add, 28? Something
20,
like that?
20, 25 a year?
Yeah, so it'd have them like basically right at the same number, right?
It would be right around the same number.
Versus, yeah.
Yeah. It would essentially be the same.
They probably still want to shed money. That's probably the thing. I mean, that was the whole holdup with Teoscar Hernandez, right? Is that they wanted to shed some payroll before they were willing to sign him. So even if Montgomery's number is falling, my guess is that, you know, payroll being lower than last year is not $2 million less than last year. It's also $15 to $20 million less than last year.
It's also hard to take anything they've said, you know, as fact. It's been so much flip-flop, we're doing this, we're doing that, that it's hard to definitively say. Let's just say hypothetically, if they get to a point with Montgomery, because I fully believe they've been talking with Boras about Montgomery all offseason, or at least for most of it. If they get to a point where they feel like, hey, John, because it's all about convincing John Henry. It's not about Sam Kennedy or Warner. It's about Henry. If it gets to the point where they're like, we'd be a fool to not do this, I think they would actually pull the trigger.
Are they not already there?
They should be. That's why I'm saying like this should probably happen soon. It's the reason I mentioned the Boras clients not normally getting into March. We think back to the JD contract. I thought it was like mid-March for some reason. It was, I think, February 26th that JD signed in 2018. I think back to the Bryce Harper contract, another Scott Boras guy. And that was, I think, February 29th of 2019. So
that
these deals
didn't exist.
Or February 28th, yeah, sorry, of 20, the 28 and 19, and got me all mixed up. I think it was the last day of February in 2019. But that's all to say that in my brain, looking back on it, it felt like it was way later. I thought it was like the middle of March, and they had like 2 weeks to get ready. It wasn't the case. We are now at that territory where a guy like Boras is like, we got to get this deal done, especially for a pitcher. You got all that routine you got to go through to get, you know, ramped up and ready to go. You sign a guy like Jordan Montgomery, he would be your opening day starter. People saying that Bayo would still be the opening day starter, let's stop with that. There will be no need to force him into that position, especially if you sign an ace. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but I don't know, Joe. I just think the longer this goes on, for better or worse, it only benefits the Red Sox. Like, I don't want the Red Sox to get any benefit for how they've handled this offseason, but the longer Montgomery doesn't sign, it does benefit the Sox pitch.
It benefits everybody, though, is the thing, because the flip side of this coin is if they keep holding out and they are the obvious fit at the number that he's at right now, right? Everybody across baseball, all the national guys saying the same thing, and it's, why isn't he there yet? Why haven't they signed him? It makes too much sense. So if they hold out further and that price goes down more, then it starts to reach a point where the number of teams that he makes sense for grows. And like, do you like them beating out anyone in a bidding war with anyone?
It would feel backwards that it would be a bidding war when the team seemed to have a little more leverage now that we're only a month away from opening day. I know what you're saying.
Bidding war is a tough way to put it, but you get what I'm saying. Once more than one team is involved, I don't like them to win that.
No, they're so good at bronze. These guys love third place. Like, it is.
They got silver for Garrett Cooper, so watch yourself.
I know. We should have led with that. The Red Sox came in second place on who was it again? Garrett Cooper.
Garrett Cooper, yeah.
Who would have changed this franchise's future.
22 All-Star, bro. Watch him off.
I know, dude. He has hit a major league home run before. So, I don't know. I think the longer I've looked at this, sometimes when you just stare at something forever, it just all of a sudden starts to, you know, you can just see it more clearly. And I'm being ridiculous here. Let me just, I should have led with that. This is all nonsense. It's based in being too optimistic because we've had such a pessimistic offseason. But trying to put the pieces together here and figure out, well, like, obviously he's going to want to sign soon. And a lot of times want to sign soon during the course of the offseason means within the next, like, 3 weeks. If I'm Jordan Montgomery, I want to sign, like, today. I don't want to wait any longer to sign this contract. And there's just no way. I have a hard time wrapping my brain around the Red Sox being, from whatever stupid, like, fake payroll, you know, boundaries or restrictions they've set up, they can't possibly be that far off from what Montgomery would accept right now. I just have a hard time thinking that they'd be that far off at this point. By the time people listen to this show, it's going to be March, Joey. There are real MLB games that happen in March. Montgomery wants to sign. I do hate when things make too much sense, because that's normally when they don't happen. But still, I'm keeping hope. The longer we go here, it does. I think the percentages slowly go higher in favor of the Sox. And I'm also saying that to say, Joe, the longer we go and other teams don't sign them, then you still are in the hunt. Like, it's your total valid point by you to say that then opens the field to a lot more teams. I get it. I get that. But
I get what you're saying, too, is that if the Red Sox haven't signed him, well, then other teams haven't signed him, too.
And those days continue to go by. So, like, naturally, it's got to – the days left and the price, they got to meet at some street, and it's got to be soon. The days left to how long Jordan Montgomery is willing to hold out versus the price needed to make the deal happen, they're close. I think they're, like, right there, and the Red Sox just got to meet him there. And then we can all have a little bit of sanity heading into March 28th.
The question is, you know, as that price tick, 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 ticks down, is the first team's number that gets met, the top, you know, the team sitting at the top of the pile, is that the Sox? It makes the most sense.
The
it
question
sure
we
does,
can't
but
answer,
I don't know.
It, yeah.
And to your point, dude, to a guy like Montgomery, whose greatest asset is availability and, you know, posting, getting up there, eating innings, you'd want to be ready come opening day. So the more you push this back, I'm sure that's weighing on his mind too. He wants to get out there and be ready because that's like his greatest asset. He doesn't want to rush himself. I feel like that's more likely to do something to yourself, to not prepare properly and, you know, give yourself some kind of stress injury or whatnot. I understand that they, I guess the Boris guys all, you know, meet at his, what's the word?
Compound? Is that the word? The
compound, yeah. Mm. Yeah, his evil lair. And they,
he would have an evil lair, by the way. I can see, like, if it's the movie, it's like, dun, 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 and, like, pans back to, and there's, like lightning and thunder and rain. Yeah. I can
it's
see
like
that.
Built into the side of a cliff.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
It has, like a jet, like, flies right into it, and, like, the doors open on the front of the cliff.
And there's just a shadow hanging over him as he walks out. He has a hood on, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's got a cat. He's got a cat for sure. Bond villain, dude.
A piano.
A Bond villain with puns, which I think is just a Bond villain. I've never really seen a Bond movie. Are you a Bond guy? You seen Bond movies?
Yeah. Yeah, I really like James Bond movies. Yeah, it's just me. I'm the only one that's a big fan. It's my thing.
You're the one?
Yep, I'm the guy. But last thing on Montgomery, if you have more, please do say those words, Joe.
Yep.
I just think there's a major, and I'm not saying anything crazy here. This is like we can all assume this, but there is a major lack of reports for a starter that just led his team to a World Series title, is 31 years old, has a 3.48 ERA over the last 3 years, and has made 30-plus starts in each of those seasons. That comes with zero baggage, not coming off an injury, does not come with, you know, needing to fork up a draft pick. It's weird the lack of reports that are out there right now, considering it's March.
Yeah.
Like, all those pieces plus March is like, what?
Collusion, Doug.
Collusion, Kike, man. That's what's going on.
It's the big C word, dude. Come on. We talked about it last episode, dude. It's, you know, for all intents and purposes, the ace of the World Series winning team and the reigning Cy Young winner. And you can't find a team that wants to give them a pillow contract. It's a little fishy, and it comes, you know, 2 years after the big lockout. What's up? What's up, Steven?
I got my hand up.
Yep.
So our guy Justin, who we love on Twitter, I think it's like Justin MLB or something like that. He replied to me and was just like, "You think he's going to get a pillow contract, Joey? We don't lie on this program." I had never heard that phrase in my life. A pillow contract? So you were aware of what that meant? I had no clue what that meant.
Yeah.
He can opt out after this season? Is that what that means? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I know like the origins of the phrase, but I think it's just like a soft little landing, you know,
you aren't on forever. You just use it, you know, temporarily, and then you get off. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Pillow contract.
So, yeah, I mean, I think what Belly just got was like the ultimate pillow. Like 30 opt out, 30 opt out, 25. Like, that's what more could you want as a guy who just, like, didn't have the offseason that you wanted to?
I hate those contracts, by the way. I hate those when there's buzz around a player and you know that if he's with the right team, has the right fit, he can contribute and help that team win and be a part of the culture of that park and that fan base. And then he's just got an opt-out after the first year. I hate that. I get it. Like, players want as much protection as they can get, and we've seen it happen with the Red Sox signing not a bunch, but, you know, of the last handful of years, guys that have one-year deals and then the opt-out after the first year, the option for year two. It just sucks. It's not as a fan, it's like, oh, great. Now, like with Turner, it's like if he's great, then he's probably not going to be here. He was basically great, and he's not here. So...
But then also, I mean, what's weird is, like, on the flip side, like, if you're the Cubs, you're afraid to commit to him long term, but you're willing to commit $80 million over 3 years.
It's weird.
Like, what if he sucks all three of those years? That's still $80 million.
It's way too team-friendly, especially this late in the offseason. When I saw that many opt-outs, Joe, I was like, really? Like, that's – you're giving him – the money in the opt-outs is very pro-player there. And a player that has had a roller coaster career. So, yeah. You know, I don't know if that was really the
– I mean, I would understand, like, 245 or 250 –
I think 245, if you had told me he was going to do a smaller deal, 245 would have made sense.
Yeah, it's just a weird amount to be like, we're still willing to commit upwards of $100 million, but we're being safe about it. Like, that doesn't seem – like, then just go
– just be irrational.
7 years, 130. Yeah. Wouldn't he take that? Like, yeah. What – like, why – I don't know. Why pinch in that – I don't know. It just doesn't make a whole bunch of sense to me. But I don't know, man. The whole free agency has been pretty gross. I was thinking, I have kind of an idea, dude, and it's a bit of a high idea that I had while I was high on...
life?
I was high on diphenhydramine, mm-hmm. which is the chemical that your brain produces when you get sleepy. So okay. It's another way of saying I was a little tired.
I was high and on tired.
I was high on tired. Which is high on too much life. It was time for me to go to sleep. I was laying in bed and I was thinking, dude, so they want to speed up free agency, right? But the Players Association is obviously super against that idea because, well, this is what's going to happen, right? And then teams can just wait you out and then give you a bullshit offer at the end of it, right? What about, Steve, much like the CBT, right? There are thresholds. There are dates where a player with a certain amount of service time or a player with a certain amount of career war or something to that effect hits minimum thresholds, you know, where like once you hit January, you know, a player with career, call it 15 war, you know, needs a contract of this many years and this much AAV. And then there's a floor for how much teams can offer. How about that? What do you think of that?
Not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea at all. Yeah. Because you need, I mean, for any of this to work, because I feel like, doesn't it feel like Rob Manfred, and I genuinely or generally think ripping commissioners is always goes a little too far and that people don't give them like any credit for what they do. It's like they're not all just morons and can't do anything well. Like, I'm sure mm-hmm. there's good things and bad things. And when they mess up publicly, we just assume they suck at everything. With Rob Manfred, who I don't think is a great commissioner, I don't think he's awful, do you think he's even capable of wrapping his brain around what that would look like that you just proposed there? Because I feel like he wouldn't even want to go to that extent. When he's talking about, you know, we really want to have a, you know, a cap. Like, we want to have a date where players need to sign by, like a free agent frenzy type of deal. And it's like, yeah, but... don't you also now then need to get that approved by the MLBPA? And then that sounds like a nightmare. That sounds like another lockout ready to happen. So yeah. I kind
of
hate
how much of that is him specifically and him wrapping his brain around it. You know what I mean? Is that him?
No, it's probably
or
smarter
is
people.
Or just overseeing, but... like, you know, making sure everybody agrees to it.
Yeah, I think it would be the latter. But still, what you're proposing is not a bad idea. I just hate when something sounds like it makes too much sense. Because then certain sides are going to find, they're going to poke holes in it, find reasons why it doesn't actually work. And then all of a sudden we have, you know, 2 years all over again where it's another lockout. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, listen, this is tired brain thinking, and I didn't work out any numbers or anything like that. And I'm also presenting it as to be like, hey, is there like something I'm overlooking here? Is there an obvious hole that I can't recognize right now? But I feel like, you know, if teams want and the league wants a hard wall of when things have to be done by, the counter in my brain is, well, okay, well then there has to be a minimum salary floor for these guys that increases over time, because you have to disincentivize teams to want to hold out, you know.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't know. And it does create that fast bidding war of like, oh damn, tomorrow is the day where these four guys, their minimum offer bumps from 20 AAV to 25. So like, watch, these teams are all going to be, you know, trying to sign
them
today.
You got to sign them today.
So
yeah. Yeah.
There's like some mini deadlines where you can like, you know, watch for like, oh, I bet Belly get signed today.
You should write the league a letter, dude. Write the league a letter. I feel like that would go a long way to getting this done.
This is my open letter to the league. So
okay,
somebody,
so you're just
going to
clip
transcribe
this.
That.
You'll clip this and send it.
Yeah.
Just send them a video. Somehow get this like physically on a video, put it in an envelope and mail it to the league
office.
Like
a cassette?
Put a video on a thing.
Like a VHS tape, like a cassette
tape.
No,
I'm saying like it sounds so stupid. Like put a video
like a photograph, but like a video.
But like a video. Yeah, have like a video as a thing. Like have like a like be able to hit play on like a thing that's just the video. Like it's not like you're playing it on your phone or something
right.
that you can a physical video that you can put in an envelope.
Like the newspapers in Harry Potter. You ever see that?
Yep. Just
where they
yep.
like they look at the front page of the news and like the criminals are there like yelling on the mugshot.
Yes.
Yeah, like that.
Essentially like that. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So,
cool. Yeah, no, that's a good idea. What else do you got? What's next on the list of topics here to talk
about?
That's it. Unless you want to stay on this for a bit.
The only other thing I really didn't have a lot today. I wanted to get to the slide in the DMs. That's good. I just briefly wanted to say that it did make me smile seeing John Lester. Something about John Lester is like, he just has this like father figure way about him, way of carrying himself. He's so mature and like, he just also has this ability to feel like there's my old pal John. Like that, I just love seeing him in Red Sox stuff. I loved just hearing him talk with the reporters there. That was cool because I do think we take for granted how cool it is that Pedro and Poppy are around this team as much as they are. I think in the future we'll look back in this and be like, how crazy is it that like soon after they retired, these two like icons, these statue guys that are getting statues at Fenway, at least Ortiz. Pedro should too. Those guys were just around the team all the time and available all the time and at Fenway all the time, and put Veritek in there too. I feel like we do kind of take it for granted just because we see him all the time. I always thought Nomar was going to be in that mix, and sadly he's not. But seeing Lester was really cool. And maybe part of it's just because we haven't had much to be happy about, and it's, you know, you just go into nostalgia mode and you just try to think about the old times. But it was more than that. It was because you don't see him often. So it was like he was saving that for today. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but I think it was Breslow's idea. But it was just nice to have a familiar face from a certain time of your Red Sox fandom back in the mix. Even if it was just for a couple of days, it was cool to see Lester at camp.
I don't know. I'll tell you this. I feel like I felt differently than most people did about it just because Lester, the whole situation left such a yucky taste in my mouth.
I've tried to block that out of my brain because it sucked.
But. Yeah, but like seeing him, it's kind of impossible to block it out of your brain. It's like seeing him, I was like, oh, yeah. I don't know if I want to relive the last time I thought about John Lester.
Think about the good times, Joe.
Yeah, sure.
I see 2013 Lester when I saw him today. I was like, that is the guy on the mound that mattered so much for that team.
I looked at him and I thought, you're willing to put on that hat?
Okay, I don't think it was that bad. I don't think it got... Like, I understand it was messy. I think he handled it very professionally and straight up said
he
wanted to be with the team. And they used that as leverage against him, but... Yeah, I don't know. That obviously could have got a lot worse. And credit to him for maintaining the relationships with certain individuals at the Red Sox. So that coming back today wasn't that weird. I didn't sense any weirdness at all. I got no problem with him rocking the stuff. I hear what you're saying, Joe. It's hard for me to. I don't know. Even though that was drawn out in the moment, in my head, looking back at it, it's. It was kind of a blip on the radar when I think of his career here for how long he was here, 07, 13, a lot of moments.
Yeah. That whole in-between Red Sox, I mean, obviously everybody loves the 13 team and whatever, but that whole, like, early 2010s Red Sox, basically, like, 10 through, like, 15, even 16, if you want to throw them in there. It's this weird in-between group in my head that just feels like this bridge roster, you know, from the Sox of my childhood and the legends, and then through just like the end of Poppy's career, where he was still Poppy, but like that was like the strongest pull to that team always for me. And then, you know, into what was supposed to be the next, you know, the next young core. Alas, I don't know if you've been watching at home. They've kind of fumbled that, but that was supposed to be it. But that those, I don't know, those early 2010s teams, they feel very different to me. So even seeing Lester, I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, it's like, I didn't have the same connection that I think a lot of people did to him. And I think that's also just like growing up. And I'm like, why don't I see this man as a superhero? Oh, because I'm not seven anymore. I think like he was, you know, right around that time where I was like, huh, okay.
Yeah, it is interesting when you got to factor in like the how old you are during a guy's career and how that impacts the relationship you have as a fan with that player. Because like I was 17 in 07 and like a senior in high school, and it was like the coolest thing ever that the Red Sox were winning the World Series that year, and that and Lester's story was awesome. Him pitching in the World Series was awesome. 13 obviously took on a whole nother path, whole nother story with the Boston Strong team and everything that happened that year. I was working at Nesson that year and got to a lot of Red Sox games and got to see a lot of behind the scenes footage. And so, yeah, I do get that it's you'll have different, you know, experiences with these guys. And Lester's a very specific time. Because, like, Pedroia was here longer. Ortiz was obviously here longer and bridged the gap between 04 and 13, even longer, 04 to the end of his career in 16. It really is unfortunate they got swept in 16 in his last season. Like, you would have hoped that they did a little bit more there, but at least he got swept by a team that went to Game 7 of the World Series. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I just thought it was cool. It's not like I'm like, this was the coolest thing I have ever seen.
It was unexpected at the very least.
I guess that's kind of what I'm trying to get at. I was like, oh, Lester. You know,
That's something.
I didn't think he'd be there because, you know, the socials, the Red Sox social accounts, anytime Pedro's back, like legend in the – it's like I think I see Pedro like every other day. I think I walk by Pedro on the street. It's like, what's up, bro? Like Pedro is around. And I'm saying that as like credit to him. Credit to him for the amount – like he is – for his stardom and the fact that he can – make a case for being the best pitcher in the history of baseball. He's around a lot. Like, if I'm that guy, I'm on the beach, dude. I got a private property, and I'm lounging. I'm getting fat. And Pedro's, you know, they've all kind of put on some LBs. But at least Poppy was always big, so it doesn't really impact him as much.
He looks thinner now.
He does look thinner now. Yeah, it does look like he's lost some LBs.
See that picture of him and Duran?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw your tweet. What was he wearing? What was that on his
hat?
Dude,
it looks like a flipper.
It was like some...
It's like a visor made out of, like, vulcanized rubber. I have no idea what that is.
Insane. It is crazy when you reach a certain amount of wealth, you just start looking like an idiot. Like, you start dressing... And Poppy obviously goes a little overboard with the outfits, but... To the point where it's like, nah, I'd actually rather just wear stuff from Kohl's and look more normal than spending $1 billion and looking like a goofball. Like, whatever that visor was, it looked crazy. I didn't even notice until you tweeted about it, but...
It's all I could see. Yeah. The thing is, I think you get to a certain level of rich, and then you just start to dress like, you know, Steve Jobs, and you just start to wear the same thing and stop caring about it. That's how you can...
That's the real rich. You get, like, rich, and you get... You know, you start wearing some loud stuff. You're like, look, I'm rich. And then
what no one's ever said is like, ooh, did you see John Henry's suit today? No one's ever said that. They're just like, oh, that, like, if you were to go through, you know, every public photo of him, I bet he's wearing the same, like, three suits.
Yeah.
And I bet they're nice enough, but, like, blowing my mind.
Obviously not from experience here, but when you reach a certain level of rich, it probably passes the threshold of being fun anymore. Like, I feel like if you're like a billionaire, then money has no, there's no limit. There's no construct of like the impact it would have to buy a yacht or to even like a more normal thing, like, you know, put a payment down on a house or a car. Like, I think that stuff's just out the window. So it's hard to have any grasp on a normal person's life when you get to that point.
I mean, I think that's why we talk about billionaires a lot on this show, but I have a lot of thoughts about them. So I'm glad they always naturally come up. I think they're always chasing the dragon. You know, I think for one reason, that's why they start
buy
doing
a
crazy
dragon.
Business
that would
stuff.
Be expensive.
Buying a dragon would be crazy. That would be a lot of fun. But also, I think they like, you know, they get that rush of getting rich and then they can't find it again. So they start doing crazy stuff. Like, you see Zuckerberg was in Tokyo, or not Tokyo, he's in Japan making samurai swords.
I did not see that. I saw that funny video of him awkwardly trying to hand stuff off at like an MMA event. That was one of the funniest things.
That's how he gets his rush, dude. You got to put yourself in social situations. You got to build samurai swords, all the things that make your heart race. You got to find something, you know? What's his name? Bezos going to space. Like, just trying to find something to move the needle again.
I know.
And John, Henry, if you're listening, which I know you are.
He tunes in every week, yeah.
You know what I hear? You know what Elon just did? Is he just supplemented his baseball team's starting rotation, and he said it got him off. He said it made him feel something. So if you're looking for something to to get that heart racing, John, I hear Jordan Montgomery might just do it.
There you go. It's happening now. It's definitely happening. I'm ready for some DMs if you are, Joe.
I'm ready for DMs.
It's time for a slide in the DMs. That was good.
Thanks, man.
This comes in from Jake.
What up, Jake?
It's not Jake from State Farm. It's a different Jake.
Damn it.
For a slide in the DMs, many are arguing if they'll win more than 80 games, but guys, nobody is talking about how this team has a sneaky 110 wins up their sleeve. Jake, you want me to finish this DM, or are you just being stupid here? You want me to finish? All right, I'll finish it. Trevor's story having a beard is worth at least 30 wins, we would have been in the 140 wins range if Casas kept his cornrows, but there is still time for him to grow it back out.
That's these are some points.
Yep. Valid points by Jake.
Got 30 war season incoming from Trevor.
And you need to get players with high war. That's something that you need on your baseball club. This comes in from our guy, Mike.
What up, Mike?
It's Nomar Dog, Mike. How we doing? How we doing,
He's
Mike?
He's a dog named Nomar?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Mike's a great dude. I think we went to a playoff game together. Did we go to a playoff game together, Mike? I think we did. So it was February break last week. I take my son to the library for books and playtime. After we finish, we go outside, and I'm loading him up in the stroller. In the corner of my eye, I see an older woman walking up. Next thing I hear is
Jordan Montgomery.
It was Jordan Montgomery in a wig because he was trying to not get noticed. Next thing I hear is a woo and a loud smack on concrete. This woman just took a sidewalk to the face. I make sure my kid is buckled and run to help her out. She's still face down in obvious pain. I'm attempting to reassemble her shattered glasses and phone, telling her not to move. After about 15 minutes, I help her up. 15 minutes, that's a long time, and walk her over to the bench. My kid, being an absolute gem this whole time, is on the verge of nap time, so I run inside with my son to get someone from the library to assist this woman. I walk them to the bench that was by the front door, and this woman is gone. I have no idea what happened to her, and I'm paranoid I helped a ghost. Was it a ghost? Am I crazy? All of the above. Sorry for the long DM, Steve.
Wow, what a story.
By the way, can I just say real quick, every time I send the slide in the DMs tweet out, I ask for stories, and we like never get them. I think we get them like 3% of the time. So I appreciate the story, Mike. I appreciate it. Did he help a ghost, Joe?
I mean, the question is, I have a million questions for Mike. But I mean, if she didn't say anything, it doesn't sound like there was an exchange of many words here.
He was just telling her not to move, and like,
which leads me to think ghost, right?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, so that's not a good sign. I thought it was going to be. I'll say this: I thought it was going to be that she got hit by a car. So that's it's better that she fell on her face. Tell her that if you do find this woman, tell her, hey, at least you didn't get hit by a car.
Yeah, there is.
One time I was in Disney World, dude. And I saw an old lady also fall on her face. And by on her face, I mean no hands. Like, just whiplashed herself straight onto her face. Like, I don't want to get too graphic, but it was on her face, dude.
Oof.
Absolutely brutal. And I was pre-EMT, so I couldn't even be helped, dude. I wasn't even a doctor yet.
God.
So I just, like, stood there and, like, tried to console this woman. And my God, what is it with old ladies falling on their face?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Relax, old lady.
Protect yourself. Take a class.
This comes in from Gardener.
What's up, Gardener?
Gardener? I guess Gardener. I was going to say the last name. We don't do full names on here. What PS5 games has Joey gotten into since Christmas?
I still touch the show every now and again. But more than anything, dude, I'm a Fortnite kid these days. Because Fortnite, here's the thing with Fortnite. You would think Fortnite, you think like the Battle Royale, right? Mm. You know, 100 people on an island shooting each other and whatever. Yep. Fortnite is now like a menu of, I'm not exaggerating, like 1,000+ games. So people make custom games. I do that a lot. I'm unbelievable at their like Guitar Hero thing. So a lot of that. And then Overwatch, I'm like an Overwatch king. You got to get on one of those. I know that you play what? You play COD?
I play Prop Hunt and Call of Duty, and that's like all I've done for the last, in terms of like my video game hours have all gone towards that in the last like 3 years. And it's so much fun because it's like the games take like 15, 20 minutes. It's an easy thing to kind of do in between, you know, doing work at night. And so, yeah, that's worked out pretty well. Mix in some golf, mix in a little 2K.
Nice.
But yeah, basically just Prop Hunt.
Steve, there is Fortnite Prop Hunts and tons of them. And my favorite one is an exact replica of The Office, like The Office.
Wow, really?
It's very, very good. And you can be like a shred of paper. It's like really hard.
Okay.
It's really, really good. Hop on over. Game is free. They're not paying me to say this.
No, it does. It's starting to sound like they are. But no, that is a... It's an interesting part of the Call of Duty prop hunt because people that play the game enough know the props. Like, there's only like 7 props per round, per map that you can be. So I would like if they should have like mixed them up. That would have been the easiest update to mix up the props.
In Fortnite prop hunt, you walk around with like a prop gun. So anything you shoot, you become.
Interesting.
So you can pick any, you could pick a balloon, you could pick a chair.
That's almost too much. So you could be literally anything. That's almost a little excessive. You need to have some kind of limitation, it feels like. But I don't know.
Well, give it a go. Give it a go. See how you feel about it.
Comes in from Dylan.
What up, Dylan?
Do spring training stats really do anything for you two? No. Nope. Joe?
No.
Comes in from Corey.
Hey, Corey.
Slide into the DMs. Is it crazy to say I'd much? it somehow gets me every time because I always only expect it off the top. Is it crazy to say I'd much rather have a season of TC calling the games instead of Dave O'Brien? Joe?
That's so funny you say this, Corey, because I sent a text to Steve this week that said, let me pull it up so I can read it word for word.
Yeah.
Full-time TC play-by-play would not be a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be. It wouldn't be. To stay positive here, TC's been doing this for a long time. TC and Lou have good chemistry. They can be funny. Now, are they Don Orsillo, Jerry Remy funny? Of course not. I don't think anyone can reach that level. But still, Joey, you said it well in a text message to my telephone. It feels like you're hanging out with TC and Lou. That's what it kind of feels like. It's like, oh, okay, watching a ball game. They know the Sox. I know the Sox. They know what's going on. Jemai's keeping it cool on the sideline. Like, everyone here I like and knows what they're doing and isn't trying to do, like, broadcast their voice and, like, you know, ham it up. I have enjoyed that. And to your point earlier in the show, it does suck knowing that's temporary and that's just not going to be the case. Now, nothing will ever replace Don Orsillo, and no one will ever match how fun that was having him call the games unless he just comes back. But I have definitely enjoyed the TC Lou games, and yeah, it's not a bad point, Corey.
They're people you want to hang out with, whereas maybe the regular season play-by-play guy, I can't say the same thing about. I never leave a game going like, oh, it was nice hanging out with Dave. I've never thought that. So
can we do sneaky talk real quick?
Yeah, sneak it up.
So I was home for a couple of days, and it's always great going home, seeing my parents, hanging out, and I went upstairs because we have the PlayStation 2 up there.
And Dave O'Brien was up there.
I went upstairs, and Dave O'Brien was in my attic
playing my PS2.
Joe, let me actually preface with, like, in the offseason, you know, you got to find ways to pass the time. I love BC basketball. It's so stupid that I do. And I watch a lot of those games. And I'll watch a couple other college basketball games. And it seemed like every non-BC game that I've watched, Dave O'Brien has been calling the game. And so I was downstairs. I was watching college. It was OB. I'm like, guys, you know, turn it off. I go upstairs and I put my, High Heat 2004 has Curt Schilling on the cover on the Diamondbacks, game I used to play on the PlayStation 2 when I was 13. Dave O'Brien's the voice of the game.
No, he's not.
And I'm like, you know when you have a moment where you kind of look around, I'm like, am I getting punked here? Like, what is going on here? And Joe, I couldn't play the game. I couldn't play the game. And it's, I've said it on here a million times, Dave O'Brien has had a great career. He's been doing this forever. Hall of Fame broadcaster, yada, yada, all that. OB has had some extensions to his contract over the last 5 years. Now this is where Sneaky Talk comes in. Has anyone celebrated these extensions on Twitter? Anyone in Red Sox Nation, Joe?
No.
That's all you need to know. If there was an announcement that Don Orsillo signed let's say if he was still here, which he should be, signed a 5-year extension, that would be a big thing on Twitter. That would consume the day on Red Sox Twitter. So that's all.
I mean, it's gotten to the point OB is ruining your childhood memories. So that's pretty
I forgot pretty OB funny. Was narrated that game, but it was funny because like, I literally was watching a College Hoops game downstairs. And he was like, oh, you know, third foul, the hat. And I'm like, okay, let me go upstairs. Let me play this game. I've been wanting to play this for a while. Finally had some downtime. And it was just welcome to Fenway Park. I'm like, what is going on here, dude? This game's from 20 years ago. What is happening?
You can't escape him, dude.
But I'm not, I try not to, I don't intend to rip on OB. It's not, I don't feel that way. But it's more, I'm just at a point where it's like, he's been doing it for so long. He's had such a long career in broadcasting. It's okay that we like move on to the next guy. Like I would love for it to be Don. It doesn't like I assume that's not going to happen.
It's not going to be.
But yeah. If it was Monaco or anyway, we've had.
I'm
this
fine with TC. I like TC. I mean, we've said it before that I think Will Fleming on TV would be absolutely electric. Like,
oh, it'd be great. Will and Lou on TV would be
Will
great.
And Lou on TV. Picture that.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's awesome. And they're both young enough where like you could do, you know, you could see
that's
them together
10
for
years.
10 years.
10. Yeah. Yep. That's a decade spot right there. Mm-hmm. This comes in from our guy, Noah.
What up, Noah?
I completely agree with Joey. Casas and Bayo need another year before they legitimately think about extensions. Everyone is freaking out far too early. Yeah. I think we talked about it last episode where it was like Casas saying, you know, I nothing close and I want generational wealth for my family, yada, yada. And it's fine to say that. Don't get me wrong. It's fine to say that. But there are a lot of times Tristan Casas says things where it's like, oh, let's pump the brakes a little bit here, big boy. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. You know, you're still technically only in year two here, entering year two. So, yeah, it's okay to wait for extensions for them. I'm not going to get fake upset that they haven't extended Bayo or Casas yet. And the Bayo one might be happening in the next couple weeks via Bayo. So, we'll see. Via Bayo, that sounds like a like vacation spot. Yeah, we went to Via
sounds
Bayo
like a
for,
street. Yeah.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Our guy Marky D
Marky.
Chimes in saying they named a street in Abington after Dick Fitz already. It's Richard A. Fitz Drive in Abington, Mass. How about that?
How about it?
Dick Fitz does a photo shoot with Billy Weiss looking like the meanest dude you bump into at Fenway Park. And they
Abington is
the
right, too. He seems like a South Shore guy.
Yeah, Abington is spot on.
Yeah,
This comes in from Nate.
But he tells everybody he's from Brockton. But he's from Abington. Yeah,
of course. Comes in from Nate.
What up, Nate?
Any chance you think that by having Giolito here gives them a leg up on signing him to an extension if he balls out? It can't hurt. It can't. Like I agree, no. It can't hurt in terms of familiarity, but I think it's having a leg up, like it's having like a 1% leg up. If he balls out, like he is taking calls from every team that's calling. It's not like he's like, I just did it here at Fenway and I really built a close relationship with the fans. Lucas Giolito will take the biggest contract from whoever's willing to give it to him if he has a great year.
Yeah. I mean, it might give you a tiny leg up if you're throwing out the exact same offer as somebody
or
else.
Or like a couple million less. Yeah. Or maybe even like a couple. 100,000 less. Like, what are we talking about? But, it's 1% of an advantage. This comes in from Joel. Ola Brochacho sliding into the DMs. I just wanted to say that I'm still excited about going to opening day at Fenway, given the fact that it would be a first for me. However, and this is sneaky talk, due to the owner's lack of commitment, they're going full throttle. I'm kind of a bit more excited about going to go get a pie from Pizzeria Regina than I am for going to the game. Am I a bad fan here? Sincerely, Joel in San Antonio.
No, dude. No. Did he say first opening day or first time at Fenway?
First opening day at Fenway, yeah.
Here's the thing. I mean, you can attest to this, man. Opening day is like among the worst days to be at Fenway because no matter the year, it's going to be 27 degrees.
It was so cold there last year. And that game was such a tease that came back late and then Yoshida struck out. That was tough.
That game sucked.
That game sucked. It was terrible. So windy, freezing. Yeah.
Yeah, getting a hot pie sounds way better than... I bought like a $50 beanie just because I was dying.
It's true.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck to you.
All right, we are going to scoot on through the rest of these. Comes in from our guy Cam.
Cam.
Whoa, been a long time coming since we had a slide in the DMs. He put in quotes, whoosh. Love that we have games to watch now, and although it's spring training, getting some dubs. Now, Brother Bear, I got to ask Joey, is that a reference to the Disney movie? Wait, Brother Bear? I don't get it.
Yeah, there's the Disney movie called Brother Bear. Oh, no, okay. I don't know. I don't know where Brother Bear came from.
Yeah, that is a Joey phrase.
I think it's just a nice amount of demeaning to somebody.
It's a very specific amount of demeaning.
Yeah, it's like
Brother
it's
Bear.
Like you want to say "Hey, shithead," but then you're like, "Hey, Brother Bear."
It is certainly the PG way of saying "Hey, shithead." Listen up.
Yeah, I experimented with "Hey, baby boy" for a bit. People really don't like that. So
doesn't
baby
hit the
boy
same.
Failed. Brother Bear is what we landed on.
Yeah, let's stick with Brother Bear. He said, is it from the Disney movie? Because that is one of my all-time favorites. And Steve, got any new kicks you're hoping to show off this season? Go Sox. Cam, I do have new kicks that I'm excited to wear to Fenway. It is my Stranger Things customs that I got from my guy Mike Jordan on Instagram. It's on Earth. He lives on Earth. He doesn't live on Instagram. But I think it's Mike Jordan Artist is his IG handle. They're awesome. They're almost like too nice to wear, which I was concerned. Like my other customs, they almost look good if you wear them in a little bit. And I guess these would fall under that category too because they got like, I don't know, just the colors. You can get them dirty and it probably won't show up that much. But I'm a little worried to wear them because they're so great. This comes in from Kyle.
Kyle.
I can't believe how excited I am for baseball to be back. Even though I know there is no chance of the Red Sox doing anything, I am still going to be disappointed. Yeah, it's a fair point, Kyle. We are going to, if anything positive, which it won't since they start in Seattle and they'll probably get swept, but if anything positive happens in that first week, I think we're gonna be irrational. Like, I right? Maybe to a little bit of you, like you're recording yourself for that first spring game, that Joey is going to feel maybe like that and maybe a little more if they start off like 4-2 somehow or 5-2.
I think it might take a little bit more than a week. If they have a hot April, I think that there will be a part of me that's like, hey, if they just maintain from here, you know, yeah. It's not insane for them to win 89 games, which I mean, I don't even think is insane. I don't think it's impossible that this team does some stuff, puts some stuff together, you know, makes an acquisition. There's still time to sign Monty. Like, I don't think this season's a wash already.
No. See, those people I don't give much time to, because there's too many things that can happen in a baseball season. I mean, did we say that going into 2013? Obviously, that team had Pedroia and Ortiz. But, you know, we didn't. We didn't say that going into some of these
Devers
other seasons.
Devers and Casas, dude.
We didn't say that going into 2012, and that was like the worst year of my life. Well, not that's aggressive, because I actually had fun. It was senior year of college. But still, that season was probably the least fun ever. It's right up there with these last two, what we've had to go through with this team. But specifically coming off of how good they were in 11, it was like, what? They're going to have like the worst record they've ever had. So,
yeah.
There's a lot of guys that have high ceilings but low floors, man. That's what I'm worried about. It's a lot of swing players, and you need a lot of them to go your way.
And you're coming in low, so I think you need more than a week. You need close to like a month, and then I think that the optimism could really gather some steam, at least in my head.
I would love to see the standings on May 1st, but like right now. Like, show me the May 1st standings right now so I can just prepare myself accordingly. That would be nice.
Yeah.
This comes in from Tommy.
Hey, Tommy.
This is going to be on emptying the bench. We'll just do it now. Heinz ketchup might be the biggest acquisition of the winter. Fenway Franks are going to taste amazing. Thoughts on the new starting condiment? Yeah, it was big. I wasn't as excited as some people because I'm a honey mustard guy, and I just want Ken's honey mustard back. So I was kind of in a let's wait and see if Ken's is, you know, permanently back. But that was a big deal. I feel like Pete is the ketchup guy. Little Petey Blackburn. I feel like he tweets so much about that it was like, Pete, do your victory lap, Pete, which he did. So,
can I say something?
Yeah,
say stupid.
Something. Yep.
So Jack Sinclair was the fella who tweeted the picture, right?
Mm.
Tweeted it at Joey Capone, at Steve Peralt, right?
Yep.
Has since been deleted, by the way. I don't think he was supposed to be sharing that information. But
interesting. He deleted it. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. But this is so stupid. Can this be sneaky talk, please?
Yeah,
can
go
just
for it.
Regular volume sneaky talk. This.
Yeah.
This is all sneaky from here on out. I don't like that people just like saved the photo and then tweeted it, and like another account got like all this recognition on it. I was like, no, that's Jack Sinclair. Tweeting at
so that was
you and
definitely
me.
His post. See, I lost track.
I looked at
of,
it. It was the same photo. I'm positive.
No, I know it was the same photo, but I'm saying he didn't save it from someone else. He was the first
one.
No,
it was him, because then that one that went, like, you know, Red Sox viral.
Yeah.
Like, the first reply was credit to at Jack Sinclair.
Oh, okay. Which, by the way, I know we've maybe done sneaky talk on this before, but
Milliken.
Yeah, Milliken with everything, but like the replying with credit, I think, is so cheap. And I'm no saint. I have certainly after the fact realized, shit, like I didn't tag, because I sometimes I just get excited and I see something, I'm like, I gotta post it because there's like a million Red Sox accounts now. I gotta get this out, or else it's someone else will. And then you don't realize that like I didn't tag like Billy Weiss or whoever. So I definitely have. I don't have a clean record of giving credit, but I think the credit in the reply is so cheap. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, especially when the photo was just tweeted on Twitter 9 minutes prior, and you just save it and then tweet it yourself. Like, yeah. No, that was Jack's. That was Jack. Give him credit. And also, obviously, a little bit of this is like, no, it was tweeted at us. Damn it.
No, I
and
know.
Like, Pete, yeah. you were saying Pete's the ketchup guy. I'm sorry. Did Jack tweet it at Pete? Did he think of Pete when he saw the ketchup, or did he think of you and me?
Yeah, he thought of us.
Thought of me and you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
So I would have, I don't know. I got a little bitter about that, which is so stupid. It doesn't matter. Worth a damn. I don't really care about, you know, that kind of Twitter stuff often. But that time I was like, nah, man, I set up for Jack in my head.
No,
not,
good job.
Not outwardly, but no Jack that I cared on the inside.
Nice. Good job, Joe.
Yep.
This comes in from Jacob.
Hey, Jacob.
When, if ever, will Joey shave his beard?
Second Montgomery signs. Don't care where.
This comes in from Jared.
Hey, Jared.
Not that Jared. Jared, this actually is, he's one of our loyal followers here. Jared Frace, Frost. I don't know how you pronounce your last name, Jared, but you've been sending a lot of DMs over the years. Good job, Jared. Hey guys, how many homers do you think Casas hits this year? What do you got, Joe?
27.
You know what? This is not going to be correct. 35.
Okay.
I don't actually think it. It's possible, but I'm just going to say 35 because I think he has those kind of goals in mind. I think in his brain, he thinks he can be like a 40-120 guy, honestly. Like, I think Casas thinks he can be that. Now,
I think he can. I think he can. I mean, probably not this year, but I think his career should have a couple years like that.
I think Devers should be trying to do that.
How has Devers never had a 40 homer season?
It's absurd. I looked it up yesterday. I was doing a BR stream and referenced Devers, and I was like, wait, his home run total high is 38? Just didn't really feel right. And last year he got to 33 somehow. He had a lot of homerless streaks going. So Raffy finds a way to get his stats. I'll give it to him. Like, at the end of the year, the box score looks good. It kind of always looks good. There's certain ones, you know, the average might be a little lower than you want. RBIs might be a little lower than you want. But at the end of the season, it's always hard to be like, wait, did we say that he had an off year? Because this looks really good. This really isn't that much of an off year.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't like when, because you and I obviously watch every game. I don't like when the stats don't back up the eye test. Because if I didn't have Baseball Reference, I would have said Devers had like 22 homers last year and like 70 RBIs.
Well, because the thing is, you know, there was just one series, you know, every other week, every 3 weeks where he would hit 800 with, you know, four bombs. And it's like, well, there you go. He gets all the stats in at once.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
This comes in from Flying Pineapple.
Like
go for it. Oh, what do you got? What do you got?
Expectations for Devers just need to be what they are. I think, like, he's in the prime of his career. Like, this is probably what he is. Like, I don't know if I want to put on him, like, nah, he needs to have, like, a 40-120 or, like, whatever. Like, I think that's kind of what he is. I think, like, 35 and, like, a 125 to a 135 OPS plus is, like, probably what you're going to get from him.
100-plus RBIs. Yeah, that should be what you expect. And if that's the case and he can somehow not be the worst defensive third baseman in the league, then sure. This comes in from our guy, Flying Pineapple.
What up?
He's asking what a lot of people are asking. What's Joey's basketball prediction? Oh, okay. Let me redo this. We're keeping it in, but let me redo this. What's Joey Basketball's prediction on the Celtics? That's what people call you. On the Celtics record at the end of the season. Finals prediction, winner, and MVP. What do you got, Joe?
I like the Boston Celtics this year, which are obviously, you know, it's kind of my dark horse pick to come out of the East, out of the Atlantic Division. Right? Are there divisions in basketball?
There are. It's the most useless thing ever. They're in the Atlantic. I just laughed because you got it right. I did not think you knew that the Celtics are in the Atlantic Division.
Yeah, I mean, I totally did. So... that was not a guess or an assimilation with the Bruins.
True. I guess that was easy with the Bs. I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I think they're going to be top of the Atlantic, and I think that they make it to
said
the finals.
Nobody ever. I do love hearing it because, like, obviously in baseball, divisions matter a lot. Like, top of the AL East, like, that means something. Saying I think the Cs are going to be the top of the Atlantic, like, I don't think anyone's.
They're going to be the Atlantic Division champs this year.
Yeah, I would hope. They got a 12-game lead in the Atlantic right now, so I would hope they win the division.
I would like to see them against the Clippers.
Ugh, I would love it to beat those bums. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I would love that, and I think Finals MVP is going to go to, everybody's favorite, the obvious answer, Sam Hauser. I think he
Virginia's own Sam Hauser.
Yeah,
yep,
yeah. Uncle right, Sam.
Good stuff. Uncle Sam, Finals MVP, Celtics Atlantic Division champions. This comes in from Ben.
Hey, Ben.
Nick Pivetta going to be in the rotation again? Will Garrett have a healthy season? Whitlock, who knows? Pivetta, yes. That Gora has said Pavetta will be in the race, and of course he would be. You know, they signed Lucas Giolito. That's it. And Pavetta was the best pitcher they had last year. So maybe next to Chris Martin. So yeah, he's in the rotation.
Pavetta's like your three, right?
Yeah, he might be your ace. This comes in from Joey Gundy, our guy.
Joey.
I said I don't do last names, but only if you're like, you're like a real OG. I know we complain about it every year, but what does it take to get someone with some expressed written consent from Major League Baseball to go live so we can watch all the spring training games instead of only on AM radio? We got to clean it up in 2025. Joey, it's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a good point. It is, like we talked about earlier in the program, just makes no sense why all these games aren't on TV. Like, what are we doing? You guys are already down there. You got the equipment. Just do it. No one watches anything on NESN outside of Red Sox and Bruins games. So just do it. And yeah, I got nothing more to add to that, right? I mean, it's crazy. AM radio in 2024 is wild. I didn't even know it still exists.
It's bananas. It feels like a joke. Have you ever seen a Hot Rod, Andy Samberg?
At some point, maybe. I don't remember.
That movie came out in, I want to say like 2010. That's like 15 years old, somewhere around there. And the running joke in that is that there's a guy who, like, or one of them. It's not the only joke in the comedy movie, but there's a joke in that movie that there's a guy who's like very into AM radio and like is like, no. Like, it's a dying art and we're trying to keep it alive and whatever. 15 years ago, that was really funny that this guy was trying to keep AM radio alive. A lot has happened in those 15 years. A lot of technology has come and gone, and we are still still rolling with it. I will say, if you're using an actual radio, AM waves do come in easier than FM waves if you're far away, which I kind of am from old Beantown.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Last one comes in from Marcos.
Marcos.
Slide in the DM. What is the difference between the 99 and friendlies? From an outsider, they kind of look the same. Oh, Marcos.
Where's Marcos
my boy
from?
I think Puerto Rico. Are you from Puerto Rico, Marcos?
Oh, okay. All right. Outside the contiguous U.S.
Remind me, Marcos. Marcos is he's a great individual, and I think he went to BU, I think. I've gone to a couple games with my boy Marcos. I'm not a huge 99 guy. I've become more of a 99 like delivery guy because their honey mustard's really good. I don't know when that happened. When I was a kid, their honey mustard sucked, and so I wanted nothing to do with the 99. But they kind of have like a top three honey mustard now, which a lot of people are talking about. Friendlies is the GOAT. There's just not enough friendlies around anymore. I mean, Joey and I went last year to celebrate Kike's departure. And that was one of my favorite moments of the season, considering how much last year sucked. So differences, I'm not informed enough on the 99. I'm very informed on friendlies. A great menu, some like real classic items. The honey barbecue chicken super melt is like an all-timer. It also is an all-time like knock you out sandwich. It's 1,300 calories, so you got to be ready to eat that thing. They, from an outside looking in perspective, Marcos, I see how they have similar qualities, similar appearances. I prefer the friendlies a lot more than the 99, but I'll give 99 credit. They figured it out with their honey mustard, and that goes a long way. Joe?
I would say they're just different kinds of restaurants. The 99 is like an American grill and steakhouse kind of situation. You're going to get like a lot of like grilled chicken, a lot of chicken tenders, and you might get like a bad steak, some like steak fries, that kind of stuff. Whereas like Friendly's is trying to bring like the classic American diner.
It's like an American family restaurant.
Yeah, it's like, you know, burgers and fries, maybe like a turkey club sandwich, but their main focus is like ice cream. And it's like a diner. It's supposed to feel like the 1950s, whereas like the 99 is like slop it up. Come here, get a beer, get a greasy sandwich. They're different vibes. And if you walked into the two, you'd notice the vibe is entirely different. Friendly's is almost aimed, not almost, it's certainly aimed at children. and the 99 is like, 99 is like,
I feel like you can still smoke cigarettes at the 99 site. I think you can have a cig at 99 and it's like legal. You can just smoke cigs.
I think they
there.
Still let you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you follow those guys?
I'm old enough to remember. I remember we went to Friday. We used to go to Fridays and they had smoking sections. There were restaurants that had like smoking and non-smoking sections. When did that stop being a thing? Because I remember thinking that was the dumbest thing ever because the smoke would just travel around the restaurant. I'm like, what
yeah,
is this?
It doesn't make any sense. There's a diner in Manchester called the Red Arrow. It's really small. It's like a train car. There's like, you know, four booths and like, you know, 12 seats at the bar at the counter. And they went smokeless in 03. And I know that because they have the newspaper on the wall there still. And I remember it as a kid being like a big deal. Some people were so mad that this closet-sized diner was now not going to let them smoke cigarettes at the table anymore.
It is crazy. When you're growing up, you always think like the only things that are going to be perceived as, oh, wow, that sounds old. That sounds like olden times are things that don't involve you. Like you never factor in that you're then going to get old enough to be like, I remember when. This might be one of my first like real I remember whens. It says July 2004 is when smoking was banned in workplaces, restaurants, and bars. And that is kind of exactly where the memories ended. Like I don't remember anything in high school at a restaurant where people were smoking. But I do remember as a kid being at like Fridays and people were smoking in a certain section and thinking it was crazy. So, yeah, that is fun fact. The more you know.
I mean, yeah, telling like my son that when he's a grown adult.
He'll be like,
was
what?
Born in 2020. Yeah.
Ripping cigs at your local
you
family
crazy?
Restaurant.
He's going to be like, haven't cigarettes been illegal for like decades?
Yeah. That is nuts. Hard to shift gears like this, but. I just wanted to send our condolences to the Wakefield family. That just super sad news, you know, stating the obvious there. But Stacey Wakefield passed away. And, yeah, wanted to read the statement from the Red Sox. It is with deep sadness that we share that our beloved mother, daughter, sister, niece, and aunt Stacey passed away today at her home in Massachusetts. She was surrounded by her family and dear friends, as well as her wonderful caretakers and nurses. The loss is unimaginable, especially in the wake of losing Tim just under 5 months ago. Our hearts are beyond broken. We will remember Stacey as a strong, loving, thoughtful, and kind person who is as down to earth as they come. We feel so lucky to have had her in our lives, and we take comfort in the fact that she will be reunited with Tim, the love of her life. We would like to thank all of Stacey's doctors, nurses, and caretakers who helped her from diagnosis to today. We are eternally grateful for your unmatched care and support. And to all of you who have sent well wishes over these last several months, we truly appreciate your kindness. We kindly ask for privacy at this time as we try to process this profound loss. I should have phrased that was a statement from the family of Stacey Wakefield. So just terrible, just absolutely terrible news. It was really sad seeing all the posts from, you know, players and that played with Wake, that knew Stacey and that knew the family and that know the kids. You know, Lester was answering questions about that today. And it's just truly terrible. It's an awful situation for the kids. It is, you know, they did a really nice piece on Nesson, and I'm sure opening day they'll crush the ceremony and it'll be very thoughtful and well delivered. But Joey, when you get re-hit with, because it was the last game of the season, Wakefield passed away on the last day of the season, and it hit all of us like a load of bricks. It was like, wait, what? What had? It was like I think 2 hours before like first pitch or something. And poor TC was on the pregame show and you know had to talk about it. I still can't believe how Nesson covered it as well as they did, considering the relationship they had with him. But now this news, too, it's just devastating. I mean, it's, you know, there's nothing much more you can say than feeling awful for the kids. And, you know, not like it's any consolation, but I'm sure that the ceremony is going to be perfect on opening day. And I'm sure they do a great job honoring the Wakefields. But it just doesn't feel real that Tim Wake. It's still crazy. It's just because, like, time goes by. And when you don't have Nesson on every night and you don't have the pregame show on every night, you know, things are just kind of out of mind, and then it hits you again. Right, Tim Wakefield's not here anymore. It's just bizarre. It's bizarre.
Yeah. I think there was a word at the time of Tim's passing that Stacy had gotten diagnosed around the same time.
Mm.
And I think like just enough time had passed where, you know, I don't want to say we forgot, but maybe it wasn't at the forefront of our minds.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would say that. And I don't think that's like insensitive. I think that's just the case where not hearing news was good because you assumed maybe it was going well.
Exactly. And so, yeah, just it's without, you know, really taking a deep dive into it and, you know, entirely bearing my soul and giving it, you know, an hour of our time. Like it's impossible to not think about the kids. It's just absolutely.
Yeah.
It's Jesus Christ. You know, to lose both your parents in that span of time. It's a fate that nobody should have to face. It's absolutely devastating. And I mean, seeing Catherine Veritek post about them too. I mean, it's if you knew Tim, you probably knew Stacy. If you knew Stacy, you probably knew Tim.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
To anybody who lost a friend too, they lost two friends.
Mm.
It's just it's terrible, man. Not much more to say about it. I didn't tweet about it. I'm not really good at this stuff. Didn't really have the right words to say, and I always felt like if I don't have the most beautiful, eloquent thing to say, then there's nothing that I can really add to the conversation other than it's devastating, and you know, not enough condolences can be sent.
Yeah, there is always part of this that feels like it's as sad a moment as it is, it is the time when people that knew her should speak. Like that's their time to express their condolences and, you know, mention how great they were and how much they mattered. So I thought the statement the Red Sox put out was perfect, and there's never any way to correctly handle these situations, but I do know the team's gonna they'll do a great job with it. They'll honor Tim and Stacy correctly. They will have the 49 patch on the jerseys, and that is going to be very sad. That's going to make it really real, having the ceremony.
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean.
Name the street. Maybe the name wrong the damn board. Street.
Yeah, yeah. It always gets tough. It's always tough then when like people are like debating about naming a street after someone we lost, and it's like, oh, can we not do this? But that's going to be... that's going to be sad. Now, I'm not really looking forward to it, but they certainly deserve to be remembered and honored, and that's what the Red Sox are going to do on April 9th, I believe, is the home opener. Emptying the bench real quick. I don't have much bench outside of Kike returning to the Dodgers, which is not much of anything. I just thought it was, you know, we kind of alluded to it earlier. He said the teams were colluding against him. He at least implied that. I don't understand why teams would be colluding against the guy that hit 237 last year while making $10 million. But, yeah, so be it. Yeah. Everyone was colluding against Kike Hernandez. That's what they were spending their offseason doing. They were making sure they could knock the price down on Kike's $4 million with the LA Dodgers. You got any bench?
Well, they did it.
They did it. I'm sure all the owners are just like FaceTiming right now, just cheersing. We did it. We got the job done. Congrats, guys. Our full off-season journey is complete. We kept Kike from making $5 million.
I did want to reiterate. This happened. This is bench. This is my bench.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to reiterate the fact that you know, the pants issue that we brought up last week.
Yep.
MLB has since issued a statement that said, like, no, the pants are the same. Which is so funny. To be like, you can't see their dicks and balls. What are you talking about? No, you can't. They're the same. It's like, I've seen pictures today. I've seen Schlong on my timeline today. And they're like, no. No, you haven't. That's pretty awesome. They did come in second for Garrett Cooper. You got to remember that. It came down to the Cubs and the Red Sox for him.
Mm-hmm.
He did end up going to the Cubs on a minor league deal. And that's it for my bench.
Okay. My closing thought, Joey, this impacts both of us. Holston's, the I don't want to call it a diner. It's like an ice cream parlor that hosted the final. Did you hear this news today?
No.
Am I breaking this to you?
Yeah.
You're not going to. Oh, I thought you would have seen this by now. You haven't seen this?
No.
Joey, it's not good.
No.
Damn it. No, I thought you would see this. All right. So, Joe, the booth from the final scene of The Sopranos is up for auction on eBay. Holston's, the diner where the iconic finale was shot, is selling the booth to pay for renovations. No word on whether or not the booth comes with a side of onion rings. That's from some random account on Twitter.
That's funny.
Yeah, hilarious. Sucks, right? That sucks.
Okay. Better than I thought.
Oh, what did you think?
It's either closing or it went up in flames. So,
I mean, this sucks though. Like, one of the biggest reasons why it was cool, and I'm going to just tell you, and I already did when we talked about this when I was there for my friend Caroline's wedding. Not at Holston's, but in that area. Visiting Holston's with Elaine, even though now we're finally, you know, rewatching Sopranos, we're almost at the end, so she can get how cool it was to be there. Because to her, it's just, I'm just telling her, no, trust me, this is cool that we're here.
Yeah.
Being in that ice cream parlor, which is, it's exactly that. It's a parlor. You feel like you kind of go back in time. You could feel, exactly. You could kind of feel this is stupid. This is going to sound corny, but you could feel like the presence of because they have a bunch of Sopranos stuff on the walls. They have photos of David Chase, the creator of Sopranos, at the edge of the table, showing them what to do. They have awesome memorabilia and everything. And then being able to actually sit in the booth and order food in the booth that they shot the final scene is just a really cool show movie nerd thing that you don't really ever get. Like, you never get to just go to that area and it's active and you can just participate and be in that area. And
yeah,
so
not
now
to,
the fact
pay
that they're
for a ticket to get
yeah,
a picture of it.
Yeah.
To,
you actually get to sit in it. You can sit in the booth, and it sucks. This was the day after the wedding that Elaine and I went there, and it didn't have a bunch of relevance to her. I was waiting for a family to leave so we could sit there and maybe order food. Another family wanted to go there. They were doing the same thing. So we just quickly sat in the booth, got a photo. I feel like I look terrible because it's a night after a wedding. You're drinking, you're dancing. You just don't look great the day after a wedding. And I'm glad we got the photo. I'm glad we actually got to go there. But I'm bummed because I just think it's an awful idea by Holston's. And the IG comments, they're getting destroyed. They're getting absolutely destroyed. The Holston's Ice Cream on Instagram is the account. And they said, the time has come. All good things sometimes need an upgrade. I already hate this statement. Mm. The famous Sopranos booth is getting a much-needed facelift. We are auctioning off the well-endeared booth on eBay starting today. Place your bid on this once-in-a-lifetime chance to personally own the booth. Check out our listing here. Obviously, we aren't going to change the nostalgia of our beloved shop. We aren't crazy, just polishing up the place. And it says, a note from the owners. This is space. And I think this was after all the comments were what the hell are you doing? Keep this. This is an awful idea. A note from the owners. Please understand that we don't want to do this. But the integrity of the booths are now compromised. They have been repaired many times, and this furniture is over 60 years old. Obviously, we do not want to do this. However, it has come to a point where they are structurally not safe anymore as a whole, and we need to think about the safety of our patrons first. Customer safety is a priority for us and should be for our patrons. Are you talking about an amusement park? What? You're sitting on cushions eating ice cream. Safety? What, are you going to fall through these things? It's not safe to sit at the table? What are we talking about? Joey, doesn't it seem... Tell me if I'm crazy. Doesn't it seem like they should have just done a GoFundMe or something and had Sopranos fans just pay for the renovations?
Yeah, so here's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
I don't think this booth actually... Oh.
It doesn't look structurally safe. I've sat in this booth. It's not... Bad.
I was
it's not
say,
bad.
I was gonna say, I don't think this booth actually gets sold. I think they are doing this in an attempt for people to be like, no, don't sell it. here. We'll do
you really think they're doing that? I mean, it's on eBay.
I'm on the eBay right now, and I'm scrolling to the bottom of the pictures. Don't do it. Don't do it. Scrolling to the bottom of the pictures, and it has been removed.
I know it has been removed. Yep, it has.
Do you want to guess what the bidding is at right now?
It's probably somewhere around like 62,000.
I hate you so much. I just said don't do it. I just said don't. Did you do it anyway?
No, I did it before you said don't do it. For the record, I did it before you said don't do it. I was already on there.
Joke's on you because it's up to 62,100.
Joey, I'm so upset seeing this. Oh, my God. I'm so upset seeing this.
62,100?
I'm so upset seeing that my bid has been outbid. No, that it's just like ripped apart. Like, what the hell? These photos are like mean at the end. It's like
they don't need to be there.
It's the table deassembled. You don't need this, dude. What the hell? I mean, I'm thankful that I actually got there, but like 62,000 and it still has 4 days left. What do you think this is going to go for? Half a million? There are big deal Soprano fans. And if you have a fancy basement, Joey, if you put this back together like it looked in the final scene, that's one of the biggest flexes like ever. For some multimillionaire Italian dude that's like, I got the Sopranos booth in my basement. That is a flex and a half.
I don't think it goes for over 150.
It's at 60. This morning it was at 10. It's at 62 now.
I don't know.
It's gone up like over $50,000 today, and there's still 4 days left. There's been 172 bids on this thing. So
yeah, but I mean, the bids thin out once you start getting to those higher numbers.
To the real deal. Yeah, true, but... All I'm trying to say is that I'm going to spend $400,000 on this thing and bring it.
And no one's
going to
even fight your bid because the bid's going to be at 60. You're going to blow it out of the water.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it was sad seeing that, and it just kind of sucks that it's something about using it for the renovations is like, ugh, that's yucky. Yeah. Like, I understand businesses have to make decisions that aren't popular, and money is always kind of going to dictate what you're doing. I get it, but I don't know. It felt like there was a way around. Like, the GoFundMe thing felt like the most obvious move, where people go there all the time. I went there like one time, and it was packed with people that love Sopranos. This is 16 years after the finale was shot there. So just kind of hate it.
When you and Elaine went there, and she, you know, had not and still has not seen the ending, does she know how it ends?
No, I didn't tell her anything. Okay. She just knows the final scene was shot at that table. That's it. So,
okay.
Which I thought gives nothing away, because if you told me that and I didn't know anything, that still tells me nothing. So
no, it doesn't. That's good. That's good. Yeah. That's important.
So anyway, got a final thought.
Thanks for that. Thanks for ruining my day. Yeah, I know.
At least it didn't burn down. At least the place is still there. We still can get ice cream there.
Yeah, I don't care anymore.
No, I know. The booth not being there may. Riddle me this, Joe. The booth not being there kind of makes it, like, who cares, right?
It's entirely moot. Yeah, I don't want to go at all.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want
to. You're not wrong in saying that, which sucks, because they didn't need to do this.
No. All right. Well, speaking of didn't need to do this, my closing thought, Trevor Bauer did not need to post a video of him pitching to Marty Literal Mush for 10 at-bats. In which he reached base three times for two hits, two singles, and a walk. Listen, somebody in my replies said, I want to get this right. Pat Brown said, you couldn't waterboard this video out of me if I was a free agent pitcher looking to make a comeback. What are you doing, dude? What are you doing? You're like trying to prove to people and like do the Isaiah Thomas. Like, please sign me. Please sign me. I can still play.
The IT thing has been so sad over the last couple of years.
I know. While teams are actively like, we don't want you.
Yeah.
And then to, I mean, putting this out there, I understand like going to film it to be like, oh, these guys, like, you know, you don't know what Major League pitching looks like, but he posted. It's not like Barstool posted it. So I feel like he should have been like, hey, I'm not posting this. You guys got to understand, a free agent pitcher. You know, I'll film some other stuff with you while I'm here. I can't post this.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. I hope it also ends any kind of conversation around Trevor Bauer coming to the Red Sox.
Yeah, I just hate.
It's never going to happen.
I hate when his name pops up, and he's just. I've never liked Bauer. I mean, I've made that pretty clear. He's just such an annoying. He's that annoying kid in class. It's like, shut up, Trevor. It's enough.
Did you watch
like,
the video?
I saw the clip, and I'm like, whatever. The
did
way
you
he
see
moves
the one where
is
he's
annoying.
Like, that's not a hit in any league ever.
Yeah, he's just he
yeah,
sucks.
It's like that's the whiny crybaby stuff that like you know outside of all of this you know all of the headlines, people forget is like no his personality is also insufferable on its own.
Yeah, no he is insufferable. He's like the most annoying dude ever in the majors.
He's doing the sword.
Yeah, he's Marty. He is a loser. He is a loser. By every meaning of the term. So he sucks. But
Marty also gave me confidence that I could catch up to 95 because
yeah,
he's fouling off 95. I was like, okay, look, I don't care if Marty's in some kind of league. I don't care if he's hitting the cages often. If Marty can do it, I can do it.
No, it is true. I think he might have played college ball, but I don't really give a damn about Marty Mush. Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah,
that'll
do
it for episode 188. Yeah, me and Bingo way back. Episode 188. As always, follow us on the socials at ITM_pod. We will be back next week. The Red Sox are playing games, and who knows? It might be on TV, might be on AM radio, might even be on FM radio. You got to just guess. I know the schedule's out there, but you got to guess and just find out for yourself. For Joey Capone, I am Steve Perrault. Go Sox game.